So I'm joined by Rupert Reed, Green candidate for Cambridge in the 2015 general election. Hi, Rupert.
Hello.
So firstly, I want to ask you, is the Green message getting through?
Well, I think so. We've seen some encouraging polls in the last few days. Nationally, we've had a very good Ashcroft poll, for example. Here in Cambridge, we were pretty encouraged by the results of the various surveys. The Varsity and the TCS showing, for instance, that we're extremely popular among first-year students and that we're in clear contention for the student vote. We're the only party we're behind a little bit is Labour. I think it's really encouraging. I think that there's never been a general election like this before when the Green Party was really taken seriously outside a minute handful of seats. Being in the leaders' debates, you know, that's been something completely new for us, very exciting. And you know, I found a whole level of engagement on the street that I hadn't encountered before.
Are people sort of engaging with the environment then? Does that translate through to environmental matters? Because that's still quite low down on people's priorities list in terms of things.
Yeah. We wish it was higher. Of course, it is higher in Cambridge, which is one reason why we're targeting Cambridge and why I'm hoping to do especially well here, obviously. A lot of students, a lot of academics, a lot of young professionals, a lot of people concerned about the environment and ecology and nature and so on here in Cambridge. Elsewhere, perhaps not quite so much. But I think one of the crucial things that's happened in the last year is that the Green Party's really broken through and people have finally started to understand that we're not just a single issue party, that we actually have a complete, holistic, joined up set of policies. People have started to understand that we're actually the party that is the go-to party for serious action on inequality, and that we're actually a much more serious option for social justice than Labour are. These kinds of things are crucial, I think, for the way that we've broken through.
So what would be considered a success for you this election? You say that it's like no other, but what would be a concrete success for the Greens?
Yeah, well, obviously we want to win more seats. That's the first priority. So we're hoping to hold Brighton Pavilion and to gain in Bristol West, in Norwich, in Cambridge and other places. It is, of course, very tough to gain under first past the post. There are still people out there who are saying to us sometimes, I really want to vote for you, but I'm not too sure. I'm thinking I might have to vote tactically. What we're saying to those people is, come on, vote for what you believe in. Tactical voting hasn't got us anywhere. Tactical voting has got us where we are now. People tactically voted oh so cleverly in Cambridge at the last general election and ended up in bed with David Cameron. Tactical voting is so 2010. We're saying to people, vote for what you believe in. Will people do it or not? I don't know. But what I'm very confident of is that we will have an enormous gain in votes, even though that will probably significantly underestimate, if you will, our true vote, because there'll still be people who are tactically voting who would really be wanting to vote for us. So I think we're going to get an enormous gain in votes nationwide. And if we don't get an enormous gain of votes, frankly, I think that will be a failure. If in 10 days' time after the election we find that we haven't gained enormously on votes nationwide compared to last time, I think that'll be a failure. But I'm pretty confident that we will have had that gain.
So on policies, Natalie Bennett spoke yesterday about criticising Labour's sort of rent control ideas, saying it was a watered-down version of your own policy. I was wondering whether you feel that Labour's policy would have an actively detrimental effect. Sort of the criticism that's been levelled at it by the Conservatives and Lib Dems is that it's going to have an actively detrimental effect on the housing market. Do you believe that?
No, I think our policy, as Natalie has said, and our view, is that Labour's policy is simply a watered-down version of our own. I think that Labour's policy has some steps in the right direction. For example, their idea of three-year tenancies is welcome. We think that the norm should actually be, for those who want it, five-year tenancies. So really what our policy does is go further than Labour's. And in some ways this is an example of a more general phenomenon. There are some things, well, quite a lot of things that Labour are doing that are actively bad. For example, their desire to keep Trident. But there are other things where Labour are kind of sort of okay. It's just that they're nowhere near as good as the Greens are. Really, in terms of what we want to see as the result of this general election, what we're hoping to see is a decent number of Labour MPs in those Labour Conservative marginals, and an enhanced number, a significantly enhanced number, of SNP, Plaid and Green MPs, the anti-austerity alliance that people saw so clearly in the leaders' debates. Only if that happens are things going to get better in any serious way, whether we're talking about housing, whether we're talking about the possibility of stopping Trident, whether we're talking about serious action on climate and environmental issues. If you have a Labour majority government, you're going to have very weak policies on housing, you're going to have continuation of austerity, you're going to have a continuation of Trident. Only if we get more SNP, Plaid and Green MPs elected will things actually, in any serious way, get better. And I leave it entirely up to voters in Cambridge to decide whether to vote SNP, Plaid or Green.
But you talk about the leaders' debates, and you say there was the anti-austerity sort of alliance, which were quite aggressive against Ed Miliband. Doesn't it worry you dividing the left? Does that not worry you? Would you rather see a sort of a united left against the right in British politics? Do you not think it would lead to more sort of fractured voting if there's a broken left?
Well, as I say, I think the problem is that Labour by themselves just don't cut it, and so many people know that nowadays and accept it. That's why I think especially so many young people are coming our way, so many students, they're just not prepared to put up with Labour anymore. And only if we have that cohort, that big cohort of anti-austerity alliance MPs, including in England Greens, will things actually in any significant way get better. Also, I would just take a little bit of issue with the premise of your question. I don't think things are quite as simple anymore as left or right. For example, on the absolutely fundamental issue of ecological limits, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party are just both as bad as each other. Neither of them really accept that there are limits to growth. Both of them are growth mad, growth obsessed. Both of them worship at the temple of Mammon. Only the Greens are actually making any serious offer in this election, saying we have to respect the Earth limits. We're living as if we have three planets. That has to change. So there are important issues where the left-right spectrum just doesn't cut it anymore. And in terms of those issues too, I would say to everyone listening, it's got to be a Green vote at this election.
Okay, so I suppose one of my final questions is the obligatory tuition fees question for Cambridge. You want to scrap tuition fees. Labour want to reduce them. But if you look at the figures, apprenticeships and school leaver schemes increased in number after the fees rise in 2010, 2011. Would scrapping tuition fees completely have a detrimental effect on these sort of more vocational courses? Other options for school leavers?
Well, I very much hope not. I think these are two really separate issues. We in the Greens have got very strong pro-apprenticeship policies. Our brilliant MP, Caroline Lucas, has just been talking about those yesterday, in fact. The way that we've got the strongest policies on supporting apprenticeships that will help, for example, small businesses, which are so, so important. We think that small business has got a poor deal over the years, when governments have too often favoured the large, the enormous, the gigantic businesses, multinational businesses and so on. So we want to strongly support apprenticeships. We want to strongly support vocational education. We believe in vocational education. We believe, for example, that farming and all sorts of things that people do outdoors need to be taken just as seriously as things that go on indoors in the classroom, etc. But now on tuition fees, our policy is a very strong one. We want to abolish tuition fees. We're the only party here, of course, that does. Labour want to reduce tuition fees. We think that their policy on this really is very half-assed, because if you reduce tuition fees in the way that Labour are planning to do, you only actually benefit the richer students, which is just a very odd thing for the so-called Labour Party to be wanting to do. Abolishing tuition fees would hurt other forms of education if you didn't adequately support those other forms of education, but we're planning to support them very, very strongly.
So in your eye, there isn't at all an argument to be said for it's worth putting a value on a certain level of education?
Okay, I understand your question, and the answer is that we in the Greens don't believe that education should be seen as a consumer good You know, we think it's a public good. That's why we think it should be paid for out of general taxation. What we would ultimately like to aim for is a situation where everybody has the right at some point in their life to have 3 years worth of further education or training of some kind. That would make sure it was fully egalitarian. But we think a high priority is to scrap tuition fees. Also, by the way, scrap the loans that people have accumulated, in effect, in the last few years, which would be unfair to that group if you scrap tuition fees going forward. And have a situation where universities are very well supported from general taxation. But, as I've said, that mustn't, of course, be at the cost of the education, training, etc., aspirations of others, which we believe are absolutely as valid.
Rupert Reed, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jack.